Well, this morning I thought what we would do is that I would want to take a little bit of time and to share with you about sabbatical. I know there's been a number of you who have asked me about, well, you know, where what are you planning on doing, Pastor, on sabbatical, and where maybe are you going to go? And so I thought it would just maybe kind of be a good idea to just address the church as a group here and talk about that a little bit. Some folks have certainly never heard of a sabbatical and what that is. And I want to tell you, I have to admit that I really didn't know a lot about what sabbaticals were before I entered the ministry. Be real honest, if someone was to tell me that my pastor, who was going to be out of the pulpit for you know, away on sabbatical for a month up to 3 months, I would have probably thought, well, man, that is an awful long vacation. Well, I want to tell you, a sabbatical is not a vacation, and that is for sure. A vacation is kind of when you get up and you gather up your family and you go and you spend some good quality time and quantity time together, and maybe for a week or 2 weeks, and then you come home after you've wrestled with the grandkids one-on-one, and man, I tell you, you are ready to get back. But a sabbatical is a time where one's work, it's a time where one's focus changes. And it changes for an extended period of time. One's work changes from things like sermon preparation and pastoral calls and hospital calls and counseling and meetings and administration and putting out fires and planning program to focusing in on self-care and really working on one's relationship with Jesus. It's a time to break from one's routine and to refocus and re-energize. For a minister, it's often an extended time away from work on those areas of one's life that gets pushed away from the demands of pastoral ministry. For the layperson in the academic world or the corporate world, a sabbatical is a time to work on something entirely different than one's career, and sometimes even in the ministry, some pastors do that same kind of thing if their sabbatical is long enough. But the length of time away is certainly usually a little longer in the academic world and the corporate world, up to about 6 months, and even in the academic world up to about a year, and typically that is paid. But usually when it's a year, especially in the academic world, there's some give and take in that. Now for a United Methodist pastor, our discipline is very clear that a sabbatical should be taken every 4 years of full-time ministry, and this is based on service years as a pastor with a conference, not years that a pastor serves within a specific congregation. So I've been in ministry for 34 years, but I've been an elder in the church for 24 years, which means I should have had about 6 sabbaticals by this time. And I want to tell you, I've not done so well with that. In fact, I've never taken a sabbatical yet. In fact, some pastors will go their entire ministry and not take a sabbatical, and that's all kind of depends on, you know, on the church and the pastor and all, but this will be my first. I've come close a few times, but I've always kind of let the pressures of ministry come first, or I knew that I was moving and I had my sabbatical set for the spring, and whenever I found out that I was moving, I wouldn't let myself go ahead and take that sabbatical because I just didn't feel that it was fair to the church. But I want to tell you, I've come to understand over the last 2 or 3 years, and that's really when Susan was able to take her first sabbatical, which was 2 years ago, that sabbaticals are not just good for pastors, but they're also good for congregations. Sabbatical's not just good for my sanity and my walk with Jesus, but it's really good for the church too. And I want to share with you just a moment about that in a minute. But But I do want to tell you that I will. I do not plan on taking a long sabbatical. Mine will only be 1 month away. And I know some pastors, and you probably know a number of pastors that have been blessed to take, you know, 3 months and all. But typically, that's because they've received a Lilly grant. A Lilly grant is typically several thousand dollars, and a pastor is going to be gone for about a 3 month period. And typically, what they do is travel and maybe do some kind of continued education overseas, or they write a book, or just whatever. And then in that time, they typically have about a month's worth of time for that rest and renewal. But my focus will be just simply on that. It'll be rest. It'll be renewal. And I need that. Now, I do hope to touch base with some of my former parishioners while I'm on sabbatical, who used to be in my youth group. They're now about 40 years old and have kids that are growing and up to high school and all. And I'd like to see how some of my former youth kids have where they're at in their walk with Jesus. And there's some study that I want to do on a Bible program that I have and all. But mainly what I plan on doing is just spending time with Jesus. Just with Jesus, time uninterrupted. Now, I've shared with you just a moment ago that sabbatals can be a wonderful time of renewal and growth for both pastors and congregations, with the potential for really energizing ministry for the long haul. For the church, it can be a real blessing. First of all, it can be a relational blessing. The church is able to model love in terms of how you show care for one another and care for your pastor. It's a time, it's a way of showing grace that is that can only be returned in relationships around you. It's also an organizational blessing for the church. It creates space for the church to step into ministry and in different kinds of ways. It helps the church to claim some of the ministry that's being done and even see that God is empowering the church to do particular things. And it also gives the church a little better appreciation of the role of the pastor and the leadership that the pastor offers. And thirdly, a sabbatical is certainly an investment blessing for the church. Pastors who take their vacations, pastors who take their sabbaticals, are pastors who tend to not burn out, which is an investment in the church just as much as it is in an investment for God's kingdom. Now, for the pastor, taking one sabbatical is important because, well, quite frankly, pastors need to model the biblical principle of rest and renewal for their parishioners. Pastors need to model what it is to be Sabbath. Throughout Scripture, you know, we see this stress for God's people, and God Himself modeled this for us. From God resting on the seventh day to calling us to take time for Sabbath and in the fourth commandment, to Jesus going out into the desert to fast for 40 days. And even for Jesus to go up into the hills, we read time and time again, to those solitary places to get away and to be alone with the Father. I want to tell you, inspiration and guidance comes from the Holy Spirit as we give ourselves to God through prayer and solitude and renewal and spending quantity and quality time with God and Jesus alone, which often gets interrupted in the day-to-day life of a pastor because just of the demands of ministry. Secondly, a sabbatical is important for a pastor so they can step back and refocus. To truly see their ministry and personal walk with Jesus for what it is. It allows one time to break old routines if needed and to discover some new. Sabbaticals are essential for clergy self-care. I want to tell you, most pastors will tell you it's not the sermon study, it's not preparation that they need a break from, It's everything else, particularly dealing with people and putting out fires. It's that other 75% of what a pastor deals with that can just literally drain the life right out of you. Clergy care is probably the best reason for a pastor to take sabbatical. So there you got it. I hope I've answered some of the questions that you might have, and I do covet your prayers while I'm away. I'll be leaving on Monday, August the 5th, and returning then on September the 3rd. While I'm away, Jody and two or three others will be here to be able to do hospital calls that might be needed. Again, this is part of the work that we will take on. Dennis will be able to do any funerals for us that might be needed, but please, no one need that, all right? Appreciate that. And then also Sandy Lumpkin will be filling the pulpit and doing a sermon series entitled Soul Shift. And I want to encourage you to not miss a Sunday in this time, because sometimes whenever a pastor is away, sometimes lay people don't come to church for some reason. And please don't do that, because I want to tell you, you will miss out on a really wonderful sermon series. In fact, this was a series that I had hoped to preach on before December of this year. And I am so glad whenever Sandy was asked, she already had this kind of thing planned and has done. And so I was just so excited to hear that she will be preaching this series and sharing that with you, and you will certainly be blessed. And so if you have any other questions, or just feel free to pop into my office and ask, or give me a call, or if you want me to come over and chat to your home, that's fine, especially if you have pie or ice cream. All right? All right, let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the grace that so fills this place, and for your love for each and every one of us, and for the ways that you call us to rest in you. And however we do that, Lord, is certainly different for each one of us. But Lord, you have made the way possible for us to live our lives and to grow deeper in you and to truly take time. And God, I thank you for these people here of this church, and for the way in which they are showing love and care as they begin to get ready for a special time in the life of the church, while you call me away so that I can be with you just one-on-one and in a more deeper and in a way that will help to energize and to refocus and to do that which you call us to be about in a Sabbath. So Father, help us to see the value in that and to grow in that and to certainly be called, each one of us, to take those moments in our life that we can get away, whether that be for a day or a week or a time or a month, but that time that we can break, that we can refocus, that we can have Sabbath with you. Lord, we know how essential that is, as you have shown us the truth of that, for how you live, Jesus, and how you had those moments away, and how you call us to be alone with you. So Father, just direct our paths, and we know that we'll be in good hands. Lord, we love you, and we give you all of our thanks and praise. For it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing for our gospel reading. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is God's word for you, God's people. Amen. Thank you. Well, in today's scripture, we hear of a story of two sisters who have Jesus over for dinner. And it's one of those dinners that really has the best of intentions. This was a labor of love for Jesus and his ministry, but it turns out into this great frustration for everyone involved. There's a confrontation between these two women, and tempers flare and words fly, and Jesus is there caught right in the midst of it all. But I want to tell you, Jesus has been there before. In fact, the gospel writer Luke tells us how for the last several weeks, Jesus has been dealing with attitudes and comments that were anything but righteous among those who sought to follow him. Before coming to Mary and Martha's home, Jesus enters a Samaritan village where the villagers say, basically, Jesus, you and your disciples can't stay here. Well, his disciples wanted to burn that village to the ground. Jesus had to tell him that you know, don't you realize that, you know, what must be in your heart, basically, for you to say such a thing? Haven't you learned anything from me and my example? And then Jesus sends out the 72 disciples to teach and to heal the sick. And when they come back, they say, man, even the demons are subject to us in your name. That is just so cool. And Jesus probably just shook his head again. And they were just all missing the point. Don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, Jesus said. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven because of whom you belong to. And then this expert in the law, a Pharisee, asked Jesus what he should do to have eternal life. And Jesus said to him, well, how do you interpret the law? And the man rightly said, to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And if he would have just stopped there. But this Pharisee, he went on seeking to justify himself. And he asked, and just who is my neighbor? In other words, do I really have to love those not of my kind? You know? Oh, no doubt Jesus came to Mary and Martha's home mentally and physically wore out. He probably entered into their home and plopped down the sofa and probably just shook his head and just said, they are just all missing it. And of course, Martha runs into the kitchen to squeeze some lemons there for lemonade, and he probably doesn't even notice that she left, but Mary just sits there at his feet and she listens. And Jesus probably said something like, they're just all missing it. Man, my disciples, they want to burn villages to the ground. Some want to go out for 3 months to say goodbye to everyone before they leave. They might not ever get started. I told this Pharisee who wanted to do something to inherit eternal life that he was right to follow the law of Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. And do you know what he said? And who is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? So I told him the story of the Good Samaritan, but I don't know if he got it. Are my people ever going to get it? And Mary sat there listening. She listened because, you know, she believed that in listening to Jesus, she would hear the Word of God reaching to her and calling out to her. In listening to whatever Jesus would say, she would grow as God's Word was planted into her heart. But what was Martha doing through all of this? What was she doing? She was working. She was preparing. She was a busy lady. She was working on dinner, and it's going to be some kind of dinner. Chicken and noodles, mashed taters, green beans, fresh homemade bread. And in fact, I bet she's probably even got a coconut cream pie stuck around there someplace. What do you think? Man, I want to tell you, that kitchen is steaming hot. She has been working all day long. She could really use some help. And she looks out, and what does she see? Mary, just sitting. I mean, think about this. Mary doesn't even supposed to be out there with them men folks, she has to think. And there she is, just sitting there, resting, listening to Jesus. Folks, listen, she is understandably upset. She has worked hard, and the expectation is that Mary should work hard too, and she should do her part, right? Right? Well, yeah. I mean, think about this. Be honest. Who wouldn't feel like Mary or like Martha felt? I mean, I'm doing all the work and somebody else is having just a good old time with friends, and that's going to tick me off, isn't it? Well, yeah. But you see, what Martha doesn't understand is that Mary has not chosen to sit at Jesus' feet because she's lazy or because she's tired. No, no. Mary has positioned herself there because Mary so desperately wants to learn from the Master, and she wants to know the Master deeper, better. And all poor Martha can see is that the dishes are piling up and the noodles are about to boil over, and so she complains to Jesus, as many of us might. It's not fair, Jesus. It's just not right. Tell her to get up and help me. And what's Jesus say to her? Oh, you're worried and you're frustrated by many things, Martha. There's really need of only one thing. And you know, at first this sounds as though Jesus might be saying, I really don't need a 7-course meal. You know, a bowl of chili will probably be just fine. And maybe that is part of what Jesus is saying. But when you hear the rest, we catch the deeper meaning. Because Jesus says to her, listen, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. You see, Jesus is saying to Martha that Mary is right where Mary needs to be. Martha, you're all concerned about your noodles and your taters, and I want to tell you, that's okay. But for right now, Mary, right now, she's concerned about her soul. She's concerned about her walk with me. She's concerned about just being here with me and resting at my feet and taking me in. You see, Jesus refuses to send Mary to the kitchen because Mary is just where Mary needs to be. And Martha either couldn't see that, or she could, and she just thought Mary could have tended to those spiritual matters later on, after the dishes. Some other time you can do those spiritual matters, Mary. And I want to tell you, this same kind of story plays out in so many ways in our lives today. And often in the church. I know I could tell the same story in so many different ways from both the perspective of Martha and of Mary in the church. And probably most every church I've ever served. But let me give you one. Let me just give you one this morning. It's from a church I served a number of years back. It was a church that had two worship services. This was a church that had a really good, strong lay leadership, capable of leading worship. In fact, they led everything. And about all I ever got to do in the church was preach, and which was good because the lay people did everything else. And so that was fine. It was that type of church. We had a worship at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it ran for an hour. And then we had Sunday school, and then we had worship again at 10:15. And on this one Sunday morning following our first service, a young man came up to me and he said, Pastor, he said, I'd really like to talk. And I said, well, come on, let's go talk. And so we went into my office and we talked through that whole hour of Sunday school up into about 10 or 12 minutes into the next service starting. And of course, I had these folks, they always led worship anyways, and it's no biggie. So anyways, As I was walking into the sanctuary after church had started with this young man, a couple of Christian men kind of got a little upset because the pastor wasn't in the church whenever the church started. And so you could hear them, I kid you not, it's so funny because when people talk in church, it's as if they think that people can't hear. And people hear all over. It's like when you're out in the water that just kind of travels, you know. And so anyways, these guys turn around to this person on staff parish and they start kind of making a stink about, well, the pastor's not in here and blah, 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 you know. And you know, there was a part of me, that's that carnal part, you know, there's a part of me that hoped that these men felt just a little bit embarrassed. Whenever I invited this young man to come up during that second service and confess his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and how for the last hour and so He's been in the pastor's office talking with the pastor about Jesus and about what it is to be a child of God and what it means to become saved. And in that time, he had invited Jesus Christ into his heart and life, and heaven rejoiced. And he did so, you know. And so that's where the Marthas, come into play. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about attitude. Martha, 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 you see, has discovered that which is most important for her. You see, Mary knows what is most important for her, and it's not going to be taken away from her, Martha. I think when Jesus was rebuking Martha, it's not because Martha had chosen to do kitchen work over listening to Jesus. It wasn't about that at all. Rather, Jesus rebukes Martha because of her attitude towards Mary and towards Mary's choice. It's like those men attending that church. And we have to be careful, church, about our attitudes, I really think, how we view others. We have to understand that we are not all wired the same. And it's okay to have a faith with differing interests. You know, how I connect with Jesus might not be the same way that how you connect with Jesus, and that's really all right. But what's important is that we both connect with Jesus in our own way, and that we are stretching ourselves to learn of new ways to connect with Him. Well, listen, attitude is everything. And it can certainly either be made or it can ruin our efforts as disciples of Jesus Christ. In today's text, Martha's worried and she's distracted about many things. So worried and distracted, so anxious that her attitude leads her to anger. And it ruins her effort to be loving. And folks, it didn't have to be like that. And we too have to be careful about our attitudes. You see, in this text, we also see how Martha and Mary have really come to represent two different ways of living out one's faith. Martha, she represents activity and service. And Mary, she represents reflection and worship. And I don't believe Jesus was necessarily holding up worship and study above loving service. He wasn't doing that at all. Martha chose to serve Jesus in the kitchen. She was showing her love for Jesus by providing this wonderful meal for him and his disciples. And I want to tell you, I can understand that as a man who has a wife who loves to show him love by cooking and doing for him. And some of you have been blessed that same way too, haven't you? Yeah. And as we apply this story to the church, we quickly understand that the church needs both the Marys and the Marthas to be effective in ministry today. Oh, how we need both. If Jesus had told Martha to get out of the kitchen, that such work was unimportant, I want to tell you, they would have never had a meal. Without the Marthas of this world, nothing would ever get done. Without Marthas, who would teach the children? Who would pay the bills? Who would play the keyboard? Who would put together the church picnics and the vacation Bible schools? If it weren't for the Marthas, there wouldn't be fellowship meals and church cleanup days, or even worse, man, there wouldn't be any cookies or Kool-Aid or coffee after church, right? Marthas are needed. But we can't be in the activity mode all the time, because if all we do is do, we can lose sight of our purpose. We can be absorbed with all kinds of activity, but to what end? Oh, you see, the doing part is an important dimension of faith, but too much activity without spiritual grounding, without prayer and worship, can be just plain old activity and plain old busyness, lifelessness. The story reminds us that we all need to pray and worship and think and reflect and take time to be still before our God. And we also need to act. We all need to serve. We need to be about the doing. The two, you see, go together. We need both worship and service. And quite likely, hear this, quite likely you will be better at one more than the other. Either serving will come easier for you, or reflection. That's just how people are wired. But like I shared with you earlier, how you connect with Jesus may not be the same as everyone else, and that's all right. But what's important is that you are connecting with Jesus in your own way, and that you're stretching yourself to learn of new ways to connect with Him. Serving and reflecting. See, for us to grow, for us to become effective in ministry for Jesus, it takes both the Marthas and the Marys working together and working things out and learning from each other and stretching ourselves to be a little bit more like the other. If all we were Marthas, we would always be doing, and in no doubt we would lose sight of who we are and what we're about. If all we were just the Marys, we would always be about studying and praying and reflecting on our personal journey with Jesus, our individual relationship with Christ, but truly never ministering to anyone. We'd become ingrown, and our faith would really become irrelevant. We'd become so heavenly minded that we'd be no what? Yeah. Today we have two sisters representing two ways of loving Jesus. But the good news is that we don't have to choose between Martha and Mary. We need both. We need a good dose of both Martha and Mary in the church and in our lives. Both are needed for balance. On the one hand, we can devote our lives to service and ignore our own spiritual development. And on the other hand, we can devote our lives to prayer and fail to put our faith into action. Either way, we become like a tire out of balance that doesn't give a smooth ride, and it will wear out long before its time. And so this text reminds us that we need to do a little spiritual tire rotation every now and then. So the question comes to us as we read this story. Where in your life do you need balance? Where do you need balance today? Do you need to spend a little more time at Jesus' feet? Or perhaps you need to get off the sidelines and put your Christian faith into action. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you need to do a little bit of action, a little bit of doing, then this Saturday's day camp is the place for you to be. Even if you didn't sign up, come and help, I'm sure they'll take you. There'll be a place for you to put your hands to work in some way. And if you need to maybe spend a little bit more time at Jesus' feet, then hold on, because in just a few weeks we're going to be announcing our study and ministry groups that's going to be starting up after Labor Day. And if you happen to have an idea of maybe what you'd like to study, or maybe be a part of a certain kind of fellowship group or maybe a ministry group, come see me. I'd love to hear your ideas. But I want to tell you, in Jesus' church, it is all important. Serving, working, doing, growing, fellowshipping, enjoying the company of other good Christians around you, listening, spending time with Jesus, and growing, and even resting is essential for our growth in Christ. We all need these to stay in a balanced, growing, healthy relationship with Jesus. How we need the Marys and how we need the Marthas in the church to remind us of that. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for this beautiful little story and your word to teach us that truth of how both worship and service is so essential in our life, and how we are to be balanced in you, Jesus, and how we can grow in that. Help us to not become ingrown, but to grow with you and to recognize your call upon our lives and to certainly sit at your feet and to be in wonderment as we take time with you one-on-one. And certainly, Lord, to put our hands to work like Martha did and to share to share with our world what it is to serve and to grace and to love on people in your name. Lord, just help us to be both. For this we pray and we ask in your precious name. Amen.